再聚。Think the moon is on its way. None of you stand so tall. Think the moon and I get you on the pink moon. Yeah, pink moon. Bing, 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 bing.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Started with some laughter, and now we're going to, we might bring on the tears. There were a lot of them yesterday at the hockey game, that's for sure. It was a very emotional evening at the Bell Center, and it was nice to see the Montreal Canadiens pick up where the Montreal Expos could not and pay tribute to the kid, Gary Carter. And we're still joined by Steve Sachs. You can find him on Twitter at Steve Sachs Speaks, and frankly, this guy should have a lot more followers than me. So can you all get out there and follow Steve Sachs on Twitter? But Steve, you have to pick up your part of the bargain and you have to tweet more often.
I know that. I'm getting used to that now.
It's tricky, but the future is here. And, you know, it's a great way to get in touch with Steve is through his Twitter account, Steve Sachs Speaks. You can also, there's a link to his website, stevesachsspeaks.com. And thank you again for being so candid before. It was really interesting to hear about the struggles of the professional athlete.
Oh, that's my pleasure. And that's, you know, it's amazing, too, that how many people went through that throwing problem that we were talking about a minute ago. And I know we want to get to talk about Gary, and but not too long ago, I was in a broom closet in Dodger Stadium talking with a player, and I won't say if it was a Dodger or not. I guess I promised to not to bring his name up.
That's
but I was
fine.
Talking to this guy about the throwing problem that he has, and he's trying to mask it as long as he can, but they wanted me to come in and talk to him so as I might be able to give him some advice on what I went through and how to conquer this beast. I think he has done it. I think he's gotten over it, and I'm just really glad. I hope I was some help to it. Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't, but it seems to be he's gotten over it. But it's just really odd how many people have gone through this throwing problem where it gets in their head. And that it all stems from fear and doubt.
Is this something, Steve, that you could maybe go through the Players Association and let them know that you're available if players need you?
Yeah, you know, I there is some contacts I have there. That's something I've thought about. I probably will do that because I know I can help people through my coaching that have gone through similar things like that, because that is in essence where these types of problems come from. It's just that people lose their confidence. It's not that they can't do it. They've done it their whole life. It's just that they lose their confidence because some kind of fear or doubt has set in, and it affects, you know, different parts of their game.
It has happened to all of us.
Yeah, Steve, Jay Farrar here. I played baseball when I was young at a pretty competitive level. Coming out of midget AAA when I was going up to junior elite, the exact same thing happened to me, but it wouldn't happen during the games. When I went for my first tryout, just tossing the ball back and forth, just warming up, I couldn't get the ball to the other guy, and he was standing about 15, 20 feet away from me.
Right.
And that's exact. I wish you were around back then to come and help me out, because it actually ruined my baseball stint for a long time. I was young coming up. I had one of the best arms in the league as a catcher.
Yeah.
And then it just fell completely apart. And it was just a loss of confidence that I've never felt before.
I had a young lady who sent me an email through my Steve Sachs Speaks. And she told me that her brother was in college and he was losing his ability to throw the ball, and they lived in Ohio. I was going to New York for a benefit back there, and her brother flew to New York and met with me.
Wow.
And I took I took them to lunch and talked to him about his problem and whatnot. And, he's licked the problem. He's gotten over it, and he's on his way and playing playing junior college ball now in Ohio. But you can believe the amount of calls I've gotten from people, from parents, from young ladies' parents that played, their young daughters played softball and couldn't throw the ball back to the pitcher and whatnot. But I've gotten lots and lots of calls like that from people over the course of the years to try to help them. So in some sense, you see that the Lord works in different ways. And for me, it was maybe using me as a tool to help people that, you know, have fear and doubt in their mind, and maybe I can help them.
We're catching up with former major leaguer Steve Sachs. Now, Steve Sachs was a September call-up for the 1981 L.A. Dodgers. He had one at-bat in the LCS against the Montreal Expos and was in the dugout for Blue Monday. Now, Steve, can you go through that story, being aware of your audience, and maybe tell it as gently as possible?
Well, actually, I got called up in August.
Okay.
And played quite a bit in the the run towards the playoffs and World Series. But I played mostly during the season, and then the playoffs sort of came to me and said, hey, Davey Lopes is healthy now, so I'm going to play him in the playoffs and World Series. But I want to tell you, if I'm the manager next year, you're going to be the second baseman. So, and I took that over the winter, and I was really happy with it. Again, that's what happened. You know, before the next year was started, he was traded, and I was the second baseman. So it all worked out. But that Blue Monday was, I'll never forget how cold it was that day. And the fact that Rick Monday hit that ball with everything he had and barely got it out of the ballpark because it was so cold that day, it just that nothing was moving. I mean, I think outside the stadium I saw a statue and it had his hands in his pocket. That's how cold it was. You know, that was one cold day.
Well, this is back in the days when there was no roof at the Olympic Stadium. And
the Expos had a real deep team. They were a team with a lot of character. They had great pitching. They had some speed. They were really a well-rounded ball club.
Now, in the bottom of the ninth inning, there were two outs when Gary Carter came to the plate, and he managed to get a walk out of Fernando. And two batters later, the game was over on a ground out. But can you give me some memories of Gary Carter throughout the years? Then, and I know that you were Rookie of the Year in 1982, and you were also an All-Star at the Olympic Stadium. Of course, Gary was on that team as well. But I imagine you two crossed paths fairly regularly as National Leaguers, at least at the start, throughout the throughout your career.
Yeah, we were definitely. And you know, Gary Carter was a class guy. I mean, you know, he was a great athlete. He was a great football player. Besides, you know, playing baseball, you know, and the guy was really a top athlete. Really, just a big, strong dude that was just a nice guy. You know, he was always putting other people first. He cared the world for his wife and kids, and he was just a class guy. And you know, you can't say enough good things about him.
Can you talk to me? We've heard so much from his teammates, but we haven't heard much from people who've played against him.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? What kind of a competitor was he like?
He was a fierce competitor. He was always congenial on the field, but when the game was on, he was tough. You know, he was a tough kid. He was a pro, you know, and that's one of the best things that somebody that's an adversary on the field can say about another, is that the guy was a consummate professional. You know, he was a really good hitter. He was always dangerous at the plate. He could hit the ball the other way. You know, he was an excellent catcher. You know, the guy was a Hall of Famer. I mean, that kind of sums the whole thing up. And, you know, you knew that I was a base stealer, and I knew that I had to steal the base on the pitcher. I wasn't going to steal the base on Gary Carter as a catcher. I had to do it on the pitcher. And, you know, the guy was just, he was tops in offense and defense.
Were you in touch with him throughout the years after you both retired?
I would see him at periodically at different events. I remember one time I saw him, oddly enough, where I am right now. I'm actually up in Lake Tahoe, California right now. And I think that's one of the last times I spent some time with Gary. He was up here at the Pro-Am Golf Tournament in Edgewood at Lake Tahoe. I believe that's one of the last times that we spent a considerable amount of time, you know, reminiscing about the past and whatnot.
It sounds like you were quite fond of him, and you mentioned that he was class all the way. And really, Steve, I feel the same way about you. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you tonight, and I appreciate your honesty and your openness with us and your ability to stay on late night Montreal radio. You have a lot of fans here, and not just for your run-in with the law on The Simpsons.
We're glad your six consecutive life sentences are over. We're happy for you. I guess it was good behavior.
You know what? It's nice to be out of jail. I'll tell you that.
You can follow him on Twitter at Steve Sachs Speaks. Go to his website and get in touch. And by all means, listen to what this man has to say, because he's got some very interesting things to say. Steve Sachs, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Have a great night.
Good night.
That was something else. Those the sort of two interviews that we just did with Steve Sachs.
That was fantastic. It's just interesting to me. I love talking to guys who played in the 80s because I have all their baseball cards. And it's just so now I'm geeking out a little bit here.
That's okay.
And it's weird for me to see a guy who I watched in the All-Star game in 82, I was very young, but growing up and watching him play, and you never know what these guys are really like.
No, you don't.
You don't know what they're doing in life. You know, it's always a where are they now? And Steve has made quite a name for himself.
I think it's really cool what he does and how he took a serious personal issue and has turned it into his raison d'etre, if you will.
And I can relate. Wow. That was the first time I've ever told that story, by the way. Nobody knows about that.
Well, now they do.
Now they do.
Now they do, and those that don't know about it now can hear it tomorrow on thekaufmanshow.podbean.com or on iTunes.
Now I'll never get a date.
Nice work, boys. I think we can close the book on just about every unsolved crime in our fair city.
Don't I at least get to call my lawyer?
You watch too many movies, Sachs.
I love the sad music as the jail door slams.
Jimmy, I think we're going to have to take a break right now and catch up on some ads, and then we're going to take some calls. 514-790-0990. If you're out of town, 1-866-896-2546. I know that a lot of you want to share your memories and thoughts on Gary Carter, and as always, our phone lines are open to you. We also have a $50 gift certificate to give away for Brewtopia.
The Brew.
Fine establishment. Had a wonderful, wonderful Friday night there watching Lee Mellor play. M-E-L-L-O-R, Lee Mellor. He is a wonderful musician. And, I want to go out on track 15, Jimmy, if that's all right. I was at the Jimmy Riggers concert on Saturday night at Opatro Vis. They recorded it. I also recorded a couple of songs. We might pull out the bootlegs next week. But,
David Kaufman.
This is I Stand in the Weeds, and just a beautiful song. I want to thank David Pierce for introducing me to their music, and David and Andre will be in studio with us next month. Very fine Montreal band. Go see them play at an establishment close to you. This is The Kaufman Show, where we love our expos.
I got lost and kept going my way. So hard to keep track of all the changes come to pass. Some for worse, some for better. So please say hello if you pass through. The boys in the college newsletter, but don't catch me if you think I fall, 'cause I know there will be a soft landing.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, and the wonderful Gord Downie bringing us in. As Jay Baruchel tweeted out this week, that guy could read the phone book and give you goosebumps. It's been a tough week, Jay, and it was such a pleasure to be able to talk Simpsons for the last hour and a bit. Hour and a half, almost.
Yeah.
And
it's therapeutic.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what The Simpsons has always been for me. It's always been this wonderful half an hour of just escape from the madness that surrounds you. And I'll tell you, Jay, I never sleep on after this show. I drink a lot of coffee to get through this show. I'm aware that not everybody that's listening is listening in the middle of the night. A lot of people that listen to this show listen to it on iTunes or on the podcast, and I want to be as awake as possible. I had this idea in my head, as I told you last week, we wanted to do a Simpsons tribute. And, Jay, I woke up early on Tuesday morning and wrote down a list. I have it right here. You can hear it, ladies and gentlemen.
There it is.
Yes.
Like Letterman.
The list says Strawberry, Mattingly, Sachs, Conseco, Clemens, Socia, Griffey, Boggs, and Ozzie Smith. And I went through the list and tried to contact them. And mainly through media relations people at the ball clubs that they played with for the majority of their careers. Except for Roger Clemens, I had a wonderful conversation with the PR person at Rusty Hardin's law firm in Dallas, Texas.
Jeez.
I promised them that we would only talk about The Simpsons. I really thought I'd get a call back. But I left a message for Steve Sachs, and he called me back personally. And just what a class act. What a wonderful way to end our Simpsons tribute and transition into Gary Carter by talking to somebody that he played against. Now, let's go to, we have a very special guest on the phone. And the phone lines are filling up, but please jump in there. 1-866-896-2546, 514-790-0990. We're going to go to Sean Farrell. Sean covered the Expos for AP, and he's a good friend of mine. He will be joining us in studio in a few short weeks, and I call him Bunny. Hi, Bunny.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. I've got a variation on the parents' basement tonight.
Do you?
I'm sitting in the car in the driveway because I've been listening to your other guests talking about not waking up people in their households. So I thought I'd
look at you listening to the Kaufman. You look at you listening to the Kaufman Show. Thank
hey,
you.
It's been good stuff tonight.
Yeah, it's been fun. Well, you're a big Simpsons fan too, aren't you?
Love it. Oh, just good. Love it. That was good fun.
I hope I did the interview with David Silverman justice. I was very nervous.
Yeah, and Rick Miller was a blast. I've heard of McHomer, but I'd never heard it. And boy, am I ever envious.
When the boys are a little older, you'll have to take them.
The best I can do is a little Homer, and it's delicious rusty beer.
That's pretty good.
Nice, Bunny.
Thank you. No, that's it.
Say hello to Jay, who you met last night at Hurley's after the game.
Jay, how are you?
How you doing, Sean?
Not too bad. My longtime friend Jay, we friended up on Facebook hier soir.
Oh, good stuff.
Yes, we did.
Good. So you saw all the pictures of us at the game yesterday then.
That fantastic number 8 on the ice at the Bell Center. Jay's got a great shot of that.
Why don't you tell them the story of that, Jay?
Well, I saw the 8 come down on the ice. I said, wow, that'd make a great picture. I looked over to Dave and I said, listen, bud, take a picture of this. And Dave was in no condition to do anything. And I don't speak of drink, my friends. I speak of complete and legitimate sorrow. And he says, you better do. I said, all right. I just stand there and just, you know, I left him alone and I did it myself. And it ended up a great shot. It was retweeted a few times. So
to all of you that have seen on television the final Expos game at Olympic Stadium, I'm that guy right at the front above the on-deck circle losing his proverbial you-know-what the entire game. And, Sean, I was very lucky that the house lights went down for the tribute because, I was a mess, man. It was
understandably so
on
many levels.
Exactly.
You know? And first and foremost, Gary Carter, his life cut short just way too young. It's shocking, and I think that everybody – that in this city, and really we found across the country, how much of a loss they felt at Gary's passing. You know, we heard the news a year ago. It was stunning. But, boy, you keep rooting for a miracle right to the very end. And it was crushing.
Sure was, Sean. Tell me, give me a happy memory of Gary Carter.
Hey, I can give you my three Gary Carter stories.
Love to hear them.
First one was, first time I ever saw Gary Carter in person was my sister and I scored some tickets to the Canadiens' home opener in 1980. Denny Savard was making his Montreal debut with Chicago, and Gary Carter's in the Reds. Hmm. Oh, man, he was just, you know, swarmed every time there was a break in the action. And he was just signing everything, friendly with everyone. So my sister and I, we wanted to get an autograph. We had a baby picture of my brother, and that's all we had to get signed. And Gary signed it on the back. And, you know, just meeting him that first time, he was just so gracious. His smile and everything said it all. So approachable. Hmm. Then I went to spring training for the first time in 83, and I was down with a friend, and I had a camera taking all kinds of shots right by the backstop. And watching BP one day, and a ball gets lodged in the netting at the top of the batting cage. There's a little break when they gather up the balls, and next thing you know, Gary's climbed up to the top of the cage, and he's lying prone on top, working the ball free. You should have seen his teammates, you know, the faces they're making, like, look at, you know, but that's Gary Carter, like a keener to the nth degree,
sure.
You know, and the story that I was telling you last night, Dave, 86, you know, everybody was a Gary Carter fan in Montreal, was brokenhearted when he was traded. Those of us who remember back to Rusty Staub being traded in 72, it was the same kind of thing. It just gut-wrenching to lose a guy like that. So, you know, Gary's gone to the Mets, and boy, I was a Red Sox fan, and they're right there, just about to win it, and Gary Carter's up at bat, and I'm thinking to myself, it can't be Gary. He can't be the last out.
Hmm.
So we're watching that at bat, and sure enough, he gets a single, and you know, I'm thinking, okay, you know, well, that's good. Yeah, we can leave that one at that, but I will tell you that, you know, with everything that's happened, I am very, very happy that Gary Carter won a World Series. It's a shame that he didn't win it in Montreal, but he was a real champion, a real clutch performer. You and I talked a bit about that last night, that when the games were on the line, when the bright lights were shining, you know, here's a guy who hit three All-Star Game home runs. You know, his stats are there for anybody to see in the postseason. He was a clutch performer,
and a hell of a person too.
Boy, you can't find anybody with anything bad to say about him. He's just a fantastic example for other pro athletes to emulate in terms of that bargain, you know, that's there between these pro athletes who are just revered by fans, especially kids. You know, I mean, it's fitting that his nickname ended up being the kid, because the enthusiasm that he exuded was just. Boy, when you think of him, how can you not smile?
Sean, we're really looking forward to having you in studio next month.
Hey, I'm looking forward to getting back in the house, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, when I started here, you were here as well.
Yeah.
All those many moons ago when I was an intern.
And I was a lockout dad back when, as Mitch tagged me, when the, back in the lockout.
Yeah, it was funny. The Expos had just left. And there was no hockey, and suddenly sports radio needed to fill a void. So we got to talk some rock and roll.
Yeah.
Sean, thanks for your time tonight, and we'll catch up soon.
My pleasure, Dave.
Bye,
Bunny. Take care, Jay. Bye now.
could say it again.
Bye, Sean. Sorry, I'm trying to tweet that photo here.
514-790-0990. Let's go to Bob in Lachine. Good evening, Bob.
Good morning, Dave and Jay.
How are you?
Not very well, thank you. My first, it's a first-time caller.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
And you two guys are really a breath of fresh air at night, on a Monday night. You guys are two great guys, I swear.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I want to talk about Gary Carter.
Please do.
I met, I'm legally blind, and I met Gary Carter at the Olympic Stadium with a friend of mine on camera day in the late 70s. And they had the table and stuff, and I met Dick Williams, and then I met Woody Fryman. He's a class act. He was a class act. Hmm. Very great. I liked him very much. And then Gary Carter came by. I shook his hand, and I felt his sweatband. Man, was that neat. And he said, God bless you. I'm telling you, I'll never forget. And I'm only 3 years older than he is. I will never forget him. I followed the Expo since 69, and what really broke my heart was when we had the strike in 1994.
Yeah, I think that broke all our hearts.
Oh,
Bob.
I mean, we had it in the bag. We had the World Series in the bag.
Well, you never have it in the bag in baseball, but things were looking awful good. That's
for
sure.
Oh, was it ever? I mean, we were what, 8 games ahead of Atlanta, something like that.
I believe it was six. Yeah,
it was six. Yeah. Oh man, I'm telling you, I followed baseball like anything, and you two guys are just as great fans too.
We love the game, Bob, and I promise you that we will continue to talk about it. And thank you for calling. Thank you as a first time caller. We appreciate it, and we will catch up with you soon. You call anytime.
Thanks so much. Nice call.
Yeah.
Nice call.
It's always nice to hear. Honestly, we haven't heard one negative thing. If we end up going another hour here talking about Gary Carter, and I imagine we will, that'll be, I think, 10 hours that we've done talking about Gary Carter, and all of it, just how much they love the man.
Think about all of these stories that we've heard in the past few days about people who have met him. Where did the guy get the time? It just shows the kind of time that he took to actually sit down and talk to people, and everybody seems to have a story about meeting the guy.
I'll tell you, Jay, on Thursday night when I got home from doing the, the tribute that we ended up throwing together at the last minute on Thursday night, and thank you for calling in to that, Jay.
I had to.
It was a very special night of radio, and it was a true honor for me to speak with all of you that night and to share in our initial grief. It was really, really something. I will remember it forever.
Yeah, I wish I could have heard the entire thing. Unfortunately, I was at work.
Well, but Jay, I'll tell you that John Kakalakis is editing it right now.
And I will, yes.
It will be up on thekaufmanshow.podbean.com as well as on iTunes tomorrow. So the entire 3 hours that we were on air that night, 3 hours edited, no commercials, with all your calls and all your memories, and of course my conversations with Katie Hines and Terry Haig.
If anybody wants to see that photo, that infamous photo that I took last night at the Bell Center of the huge eight sprawled across the ice at the Bell Center, go to my Twitter.
Yeah, JPubRadio.
JPubRadio. I just tweeted it now, so you could take a look at it and enjoy. It's actually a pretty good shot.
It's a wonderful picture.
I'm kind of impressed with myself.
You should be proud of yourself.
Thank you. It was a
beautiful photograph. And, follow Jay at JPubRadio. That's how you can keep in touch with him. I'm at The Kaufman Show. I'm always at The Kaufman Show.
So am I, for some reason. Keep coming back.
It's a fun place to be on Monday nights. What can you say? But, we're going to, for as long as you guys want your memories about the kid, we will be here to talk about it. And baseball in general, I want to talk a bit about where my emotions have been lately. We'll probably do it after the break because we're coming up on one and Jimmy's got to give you your scores. But there's a lot of if this feels like 2004 all over again. And I hope that that's not seen to anybody as being disrespectful to Gary Carter and his family, but this feels like we've lost the Expos again. And Jay, what you were saying before about how he had so much time for people, I sent Kimmy an email on Thursday night after I got home from the studio with my condolences. And the most important thing I wanted to get across was to thank her and her family for sharing him with us. The amount of times that they must have had to wait for him to have that moment with the fans, or when 20 people wanted to talk to him in the middle of their dinners. And he always made time for everybody. And his family had to have suffered from that. So I thanked her for sharing Gary Carter with all of us. This is The Kaufman Show. And we'll be back.
Grab the catcher.
Welcome back to The Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar.
Jay Farrar. Cunnyworth.
So we've got a couple of, now we've got some calls on the line. Why don't we see what they have to say. 514-790-0990, 1-866-896-2546. I alluded to it before the break, and I will get into it. Losing Gary Carter has felt very similar to losing the Expos.
It has. Being there, I did feel like I did in 2004, watching them against the Florida Marlins for the last time.
Yep.
There was that sense a little bit, especially being next to my brother. And as the famous video goes, you know, there are pics of that time. There was something else that's happened, I found, in the next few days. If you can take anything good out of this, is the exposure that the Montreal Expos, not being a franchise anymore, has gotten.
Yeah.
Watching my brother's video. And
which is at how many views right now?
Oh, my goodness. Well, last time I looked, it was at 70,000.
Wow.
Which, by the way, is the highest rate of views that he's gotten out of any one of his videos.
Yeah.
Seeing the comments from Mets fans and other fans from other major league cities saying, man, you know what? We miss the Expos. And I get this at the pub all the time. People genuinely liked the Expos, whether it was the logo or whether it was the uniform or small things like that. People say, well, screw the Nationals. We don't care about the Nationals. The Expos were a legitimate ball club. And if we can take anything, if there's any kind of blessing in disguise about the last few days, well, there's that. And you know what? I'm sure Gary would be proud of that, you know?
I think so.
At least we got that out of it and the exposure to our long-dead franchise by now. And people saying, yeah, what happened to the Expos? It's making people think. And I thought about that a lot as
it's
well.
It's shown, Jay, the rest of North America, just how passionate the fan base for baseball is here. And that it's still alive and it still exists. And our love for Gary Carter is really our lasting legacy in baseball right now. It's hard, Jay. I wrote it in Travis Wrightsmith's piece on getting blanked on the score, and you should all check it out. It's Travis wrote a very beautiful article, and it has some comments from myself, from Anakin Slade, and from Buck65 as well. It's one thing to lose the team, the name, the franchise, the uniforms, playing at the Big O. It's another thing when you start losing individual Expos. And that just totally changes it. It's one thing to lose the Expos. It's another thing to start losing our Expos.
Dick Williams, Woody Fryman, Charlie Lee.
Charlie Lee and Gary Carter both gone within months of each other. The starting battery for the 1984 All-Star Game. Sorry, yeah, the starting battery for the 1984
right.
All-Star Game. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Let's go back to the phones. 514-790-0990. We've got, I think this is our friend Eric in Montreal. Good evening, Eric.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
I didn't know Gary Carter that much because I wasn't around back then, but I know one thing. I know he'd be pretty damn proud of you guys with the show that you guys did on the day of his death and that show that you sent to him. I know he'd be pretty proud of you guys.
Yeah, we were informed that the Carter family sat down and listened to our tribute together.
Well, I'm pretty sure that he was proud of it.
Yeah, it's, you know what? I'll tell you, Eric, it was such an honor to have done it. We wanted to do it before he passed because we wanted everybody to be able to still talk about him while he was here and talk about him in reverent tones in the hope that one day he would hear it, and he did. And really, Eric, that's been my greatest honor in radio.
I know you comforted a lot of people with your voice on that day that he passed away there.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
I'd like to talk a little bit of baseball with you for a couple seconds, if
sure,
you don't mind.
Sure.
I'd like to talk about the Dodgers and the Marlins. I'd like to get your opinion on the fact that, that the Dodgers, they got Prince Fielder, but...
No, that was the Tigers that got Prince Fielder.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The Tigers, they're going to have to bring over Miguel Cabrera to the third base. And considering that they've done that in the past and that he's been horrible at it, do you think that their defense is gonna make up for all the offense that they're gonna get?
I don't think they'll have any trouble winning that division with ease this year. You look at how good that team was last year, and I think even defensively they're going to be putting up 7-8 runs a game pretty consistently, I would imagine, with the mashers that they have, and then their pitching's all so stellar. I don't think Cabrera will have trouble transitioning. I think it's for the good of the team.
Okay, I thought the opinion that I was getting was that he was going to be a liability at third base because of all the errors that he's committed in the past.
But I think that for whatever the liability is, he'll make up for it with his bat. I think Dave Dombrowski knows what he's doing over there.
Okay, and I was on the same subject. I was thinking about the Marlins as well. Now that they got Reyes, they're going to have to move Ramirez over to third base as well. Aren't they going to have the same problem, do you think?
That one might be a little bit more of an issue. But again, these guys are professionals. I don't see any reason why he won't be able to take the ground balls in spring training and get himself up to playing shape. I hate to say it. It pains me because of, obviously, the Laurea Sampson connection. Marlins are going to be good this year.
I don't know. I'm still skeptical about that one.
Well, they've got, even just the Zambrano deal. They say that Zambrano's in the best shape that he's been in years. And what a steal to have picked him up. They now have Mark Burley as their ace, too. And don't forget Josh Johnson.
I know. I don't think Zambrano's arm's going to keep up through the whole year, though.
Well, I think there's more concern about his head than there is about his arm.
True that.
Eric, right, thanks so much for the call. I will speak
to
you soon.
All right.
All the best. 514-790-0990. If you're out of town, please let our bosses pay for the call. 1-866-896-2546. Let's go to Sammy in Côte Saint-Luc. Good evening, Sammy.
Good evening. How do you do?
Very
I enjoy
good.
Your program very, very much.
Well, thank you very much, Sammy. We appreciate that.
And I just wanted to recall a couple of things that it's affected me by the death of Gary Carter.
Please.
I'm a senior citizen of 82 years old. I've been watching the Montreal Royals before Jackie Robinson came.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And in the early 1940s, and when the Expos left, my baseball, I started to, you know, to let go and not follow it too closely. And then I took out some, I have a couple of memories that I have from the baseball team, which I think would be very interesting.
Please share. I would love to hear them.
Mitch Melnick had a contest in 1993, in the 50th anniversary of the Expos. It was run by the upper deck cards, and I won a contest. And with the contest came, I got an autographed baseball of all the old timers, from Gene Mock to Mike Torres to. I mean, there was about 30 ball players there, and besides that, I got the pleasure of throwing out the first ball.
Oh, wow!
And I had dinner. My son and myself had dinner with all the ball players, and it was really. And I was looking through my papers when he came up, I found out from the Journal de Montréal from 1993 a picture of all the Expos. And that, you know, they played on the 2 days later. It was, I think, the paper was the 30th, so they must have played either the 29th or the 28th, which was on the Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
And it was one of the most marvelous experiences that I've had in sports in my life.
I bet. That to be able to rub elbows with the players like that must have been quite a thrill.
Yeah, you know, and then you've seen, you know, some of them were, you know, weren't in too good shape at that time because the salary wasn't like today, you know.
No, you know, of course not.
There was Rodney Scott, which wasn't into good. You know, there was a couple, you know. There's certain people. Steve Rogers was all right. He was, I think, an oil engineer or something in Oklahoma, if I remember correctly. You know, certain players did well. But a lot of them were, the thing that I noticed, mind you, nobody bothered with Gene Mock. He was sitting alone, like it was, you know, it was so obvious, you know, from the, you know, figure it was about 30 ball players, from the 25 years.
Right.
And nobody bothered with Gene Mock.
Sammy, was Gary Carter there?
No, 1993.
No, I meant as part of the old timers. But
No, he was still, he must have been, where did he, from 1994, he was playing still with the Expos.
No, he retired in 92, but.
No, in 93 he wasn't. Maybe he went to. No, he wasn't there.
Okay. Have you crossed paths with Carter over the years?
No, not really. The only one that I had which I was very fortunate, that was a long time, was a neighbor of mine for one season.
Huh.
And he was one of the, you know, he was one of the old timers that came, and he signed, which I gave my grandson, the silver ball, you know, number 17, you know, to my friend, you know. And you have no idea how much the ball players meant to children, you know.
I do, because I was one of them.
Because
Sammy.
We were living in the townhouses, and my son was at that time, I think, about 11 or 12 years old. He brought baseball for the boys. My son went to a ball game when he came back. He says, you know what happened? He says, I was Valentine's son. He came over. And he introduced me to some of the players, and he says, these are my neighbors, he says. I mean, the problem is he ran afoul, you know, there were certain items that he, you know. And the reason he said he was talking, he said he had nobody to go to. You know, at that time, with the drug problems, with all these problems, you know, he must have been, I don't know.
No, they didn't have the support network that
exactly,
they have now.
Exactly.
It was a dirty little secret, and I don't think people understood that addiction was a disease,
you know,
the way
was,
that they, people comprehend that nowadays, Sam.
And he must have been about 23 or so, something like that, and he was making at that time, which was a lot of money, $75,000, single fella, you know. So I don't have to ask you what problems could occur, you know.
Sammy, will you do me a favor before we let you go?
Yes.
You mentioned that you used to watch the Royals play even before Jackie Robinson
and
Delorme
Gaines. Yeah, with Jean-Pierre Roy, with Grand Tragedy.
Well, do me a favor, Sammy. Please tell our listeners a Jackie Robinson story and what it was like to watch Jackie Robinson play at Delorme Downs in 1946.
First of all, First of all, it was a pleasure watching him, not because he was the first black player. He was completely outstanding. I mean, he used to go in, and the stories are not false. He used to go out and with the spikes, they used to try to hit him and injure him and throw at him, and it's unbelievable the abuse that he used to take from even some of his old players. You know, didn't want to play with him at the Royals in the beginning.
That's right.
You know, it was
the manager didn't want them. He was a Southerner. I can't remember his name. Clay something or other.
Clay Hopper.
There you go.
Clay Hopper.
Exactly. He was, but the beauty of it was, is that. What an athlete he was, you know what I mean? And, you know, and like the paper, he put his head down, he didn't say nothing, and he didn't answer back, and he didn't fight, and it was, and I remember, I think it was, I don't know if I'm correct, the Louisville Colonels, they played in the World Series. I think that's the time when they said they carried Jackie Robinson.
That's right, on their shoulders. It was the first time they say that a black man had been chased down the street out of love and not out of lynching.
Exactly. I think it was they used to have the little World Series, the Dodgers. What, there were two divisions, the American Association and the
Pacific Coast League, the International League and the Pacific Coast League.
You know, the International League, mm-hmm. and the American Association.
Okay.
Used to play off for they called it the little World Series.
Right.
And the Dodgers had St. Paul was one of their farm teams. And Montreal was the farm team of the Dodgers in the two divisions, and at that time the International League was, I mean, maybe I'm exaggerating, but a notch below Major League today.
I believe it.
I mean, we had Yogi Berra played, Sherman Lawler, Blackwell pitching. I mean, there was the Dodgers itself had I saw what's his name, the catcher Campanella played.
Right.
I mean, these were, you know.
Don Drysdale pitched for the Astros.
Drysdale pitched, exactly.
One of my favorite stories is the Royals keeping a young Roberto Clemente on the bench because
they didn't want it to draft.
That's right.
Exactly.
Sammy, thank you so much for the call. I'm hoping next week to do something on black history in baseball, and I'd love it if you called back with some more memories of Jackie Robinson.
But it was, I'm just saying, and people don't realize what they missed in their youth by not having a baseball team now. I mean, it's, you know, it's heartbreaking. I watch the Blue Jays a little bit and anything, but my memory goes, as I said, my memory seems to be fairly good, and I go back approximately 70 years, you know.
Sammy, thanks for staying up late, and you call us anytime.
Right, your program is excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
That was a treat.
Yeah.
That was a treat.
Wow.
The man does have quite a good memory, huh?
Seriously.
Wow.
That was really cool.
You know, you don't get...
I wonder if he enjoyed our Simpsons tribute.
Yeah, I guess maybe he did. I mean, he's still listening. Yeah. Perhaps he did. He struck me more as perhaps a Flintstones guy. But that's a treat. You don't get a lot of people who are still around who have that great a memory of those days with the Royals and Jackie Robinson. And it's nice to hear from somebody firsthand who was actually there and not just legend.
I spent a lot of time last night, Jay, funnily enough, reading about Jackie Robinson.
Well, it's about time. No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm obviously, because of Delino DeShields, I've always felt a great admiration and love for Jackie Robinson. And Bop, if you're listening, we will always honor Jackie Robinson's memory in this town.
Yeah, he's very, very important to this town. And his wife...
Rachel has
never forgotten that. I mean, it was just a few months that they spent here. It was one season that
one
he
summer.
Played.
That's it.
One summer that he played with the Royals. And to this day, she keeps coming back whenever they honor Jackie, whenever they do something special. And if I'm not mistaken, when they retired his number in all of baseball, I believe Montreal was the first stop.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. And,
correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember that Montreal was the first stop when they made a stop in almost, I think they went to every single team, every single stadium.
I had written on Twitter on Friday or Saturday. No, it was, I think it was Friday, that I everybody's trying to figure out ways to pay tribute to Gary Carter. And one of the ones that was mentioned was changing Penniff Metro Station. I know we're both against that.
Yeah.
First of all, as much as Gary, as wonderful and revered as Gary Carter was, the idea of them taking the name of a metro station away from a pope seems a little much to me.
Well, people don't really see it as a pope anymore. They think it's the ninth in a line of movies. You know, this is the ninth pie movie.
Whenever,
you know?
I have a fantasy baseball team, I always call them the Pie Nines.
The Pie Nines, yeah. Sure. What are you going to name a place, a concrete bunker underneath the ground where people are pissing and doing heroin after Gary Carter? I don't think so. I'm not for it.
Now, I had
if I may be so blunt.
You may. You may. Thank you. And somebody had pointed out, I think it was Mr. Rabbit on Twitter, had pointed out to me that all metro stations except for Lionel Grew are named after geographic locations. And even Lionel Grew is at the end of Lionel Grew Street. So they're all named after geographic locations or streets that are nearby. And I had suggested placing a statue next to Jackie Robinson's on Pierre de Coubertin. And my hero put me in my place. Delino DeShield sent me a message and said that everybody's very emotional right now, but Jackie Robinson stands alone. Without Jackie Robinson, there would be no Delino DeShields. And that really resonated with me. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk of different ways that Jackie Robinson can be honored in this city beyond just the statue on Pierre de Coubertin. Now we've got two that we need to honor, but Delino was absolutely right. What Jackie Robinson has done for the world, there would be no Barack Obama if there wasn't a Delino,
Delino DeShields,
a Jackie Robinson. I love Delino. Let's not give him too much credit.
Yeah.
But no, there would not be a Martin Luther King if there wasn't a Jackie Robinson. And I encourage you all to go and read up on him. And not just the numbers and not just the years with the year with the Royals and the years with the Dodgers, but he was the first really black executive in business in the United States. He paved the road for so many people in so many ways. And look at that. My Gary Carter tribute just turned into a Jackie Robinson one.
Well, we'll have more on that next week.
Yeah, we will.
And yeah, I can't wait to talk about that.
Meanwhile, I mentioned where that statue is located. Why don't you tell them the story of yesterday?
This is great. Speaking of Pierre de Coubertin.
Yeah.
Yesterday we arrive at the Bell Center fairly early.
Very early.
Yeah. Never been there that early
no,
before.
I felt like we showed up in time for batting practice.
Yes. Now, my brother, Anakin Slade, was doing an interview with CTV, and he couldn't make it till later on, so I was on the phone with him, and I asked him. He was asking me, listen, you got to come back out and give me my ticket. And I looked at Dave, and I said, listen, Dave, where should we meet him? Which side? Which side? The north side? The south side? Which street should we? And Dave literally and genuinely looked at me, and you can tell where his mind was at that moment, because we had gotten there early to see the Gary Carter tribute. With his mind, I guess, in Expo's land,
yes,
he genuinely told me to tell him to meet us on Pierre de Coubertin, outside of the Bell Center.
Literally, I hear Jay say, so what door should Anakin meet us at? And without even missing a beat.
Oh,
it
no.
I didn't think about it. I just looked at Jay in his Dawson jersey and and said, Pierre de Coubertin. And you looked at me like I was on crack.
At first, I chuckled. I said, and I'm like, oh, dude, you're serious. Oh, my God.
Jay, I was messed up yesterday.
Yes, you were, sir.
We went to that game. There was no hockey game yesterday.
No.
I sat there. First of all, I haven't sat in the Reds in years. We spent a pretty penny, and actually, we got a great deal, but it was just a lot more than I normally spend on a ticket. But I want to thank our friend Raymond at the Ticket Academy. If you ever need any help for any event, 514-878-1331. Good friend Raymond Makairos. Just adding to the list of Greeks that help support this show.
That's right. That's what we do. We've been supporting your people for years, my friend.
I don't remember a second of the game yesterday. I can kind of remember Pacioretty scoring because it was in front of us. And I have vivid memories of Marty Brodeur during the game. But there was no hockey game yesterday. It was the three of us sitting there in our expo stuff talking baseball. And at one point I said to Anakin, man, don't you just wish you were at a ball game right now? And he said, I always wish I was at a ball game.
Always. And listen, people who are watching that game intently, hopefully they don't remember that game either because it was awful.
Yeah, it was a stinker.
They didn't look good. Nobody looked good. There was, I mean, New Jersey games are usually boring anyway, and right. We knew it was going to be that way.
You know what? And I will get myself in trouble right now. That was probably Martin Brodeur's last game in Montreal.
Right.
And it was wonderful to see Martin Brodeur do what he always does in this town. Jay, do you have the Facebook page up?
Yes.
Can you go over to the Kaufman Show page? And I posted a photo today that we were given permission from the Brodeur family to put up. Martin Brodeur grew up, and he knew Gary Carter growing up. Martin's father, Denis, was the official photographer for not only the Montreal Canadiens, but also the Montreal Expos. And I encourage you all to go to the Kaufman Show Facebook page and check out the beautiful photo of Martin Brodeur and his brother, Denis, with Gary Carter. And I'd say the photo was taken sometime in the late 70s, early 80s at the Olympic Stadium. Jay, can you read the inscription that's on the photograph?
It reads as follows. To Denis A. Martin, my best to you both in all future dreams. May God bless and guide your lives always. Best of luck in quests to become future superstars. Bonne chance, Gary Carter.
Can you believe that? For Martin Brodeur.
Yeah, he sort of became a future superstar, didn't he?
He sure did.
Oh, the greatest goalie of all time. It was probably because of Gary Carter, too.
My beautiful and intelligent sister, Amy, ran into Martin Brodeur this weekend and downtown Montreal. And I had told her about this photograph earlier in the day. So she called me at, 11 o'clock, midnight on Saturday night and said, you're not going to believe this, but I just saw Martin Brodeur. And I told him that my brother is a journalist and that he saw this picture of him as a little kid with Gary Carter. And Amy said that he stopped in his tracks and said that the Brodeur family is going through a very tough time right now and having a lot of trouble dealing with it. And watching the way that Gary Carter went out was just heartbreaking for all of them. And I think it meant a lot for Martin Brodeur to be on the ice for that tribute last night. And for all of you that knew or now know the story of how close the bond was between the Carter family and the Brodeur family, I think you can be happy for him last night being the first star in the Gary Carter tribute game and probably what is his last game in Montreal. Now, Jimmy, do you want to take a break or should we go to our... Speaking of Greeks supporting us, let's go to our friend George in St. Lazare out in God's country. Good evening, George.
Dave and Jay, the dynamic duo, how you doing?
The terrible twosome, the Glimmer twins.
the reason, good fellas.
The reason I was tuned in today, because I thought that Batgirl was going to be there, your sister, but I guess the Kaufman reunion didn't happen.
No, Amy, it turns out that she had to study, and I did not want to be the reason that my sister failed a couple of midterms tomorrow. So we'll have to have a true, proper Kaufman show down the road. And I figure, why not? Jay gets to bring his brother in here all the time, so my sister's way cooler. I might as well bring her in.
No shortage of nepotism on this show.
How old is your sister, Dave? Maybe
George,
you know,
do you have any sports you'd like to talk about?
I'm sorry. I was going to make reference to that picture with Marty and Denis because that was a great picture. And when I first saw that, because Denis happens to be a friend of mine, and he posted that on his Facebook. And when I saw that, I said, I've got to send that to Dave because the inscription on that picture was so prophetic. It was unbelievable.
It touched me when I saw it, George. Thank you so much for sharing that with all of us.
Unbelievable. But I was listening to Danny, who was talking about the Dodgers and the Montreal Royals that were in Montreal.
Wasn't that a wonderful call?
Absolutely. And what happened was that it brought back memories for me, not because I was old enough to attend the Royals. Obviously, I'm old, but not that old. But I used to work as a student when I was going to Dawson College and then Concordia. I used to work at this store in the CN station called the Fruit Basket. Now, the owner of that particular store, he was an acquaintance of mine, and he was a big Dodger fan. And the reason why he was a big Dodger fan is because he grew up following the Montreal Royals, and he became very good friends with Al Campanis.
Okay? Yeah, they're not the most popular guy in the world to be.
No, he wasn't the most popular guy in the world because of certain comments that he made. Obviously,
well, he was a racist for better.
Yes. For lack of a better term.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
But when the Dodgers used to come to town, my boss would get dressed up in his Dodger blue and head out, and I said, "How can you wear the Dodger blue?" You know, of course, I was an Expo fan, and I wouldn't tolerate that, and I would rib him about it. And most of the times, unfortunately, the Dodgers came out on the better end of the scorer, which was unfortunate for me because he used to give it back to me afterwards. But there were a lot of famous people that played in for the Montreal Royals, and I remember. Chuck Connors,
the Rifleman.
The Rifleman was playing for the Montreal Royals back then.
See, why do I know that, George?
I don't know, Dave. Well, the other thing I'd like to know is how do you end up having all these beautiful women following you on Twitter, Dave?
Well, you know, they say that Twitter imitates real life, right?
They're all going to be gone now after he geeked out on The Simpsons, believe me.
No, please. I'm telling you, Jay.
No, please, don't let that happen.
No, it's not even that. You don't even realize. That show is what's given me my intelligence, if I may pat myself on the back.
I just like to tease you about it.
Well, that's cool.
But that picture, the picture of the three of you on the picture of the three of you on that RDS capture is so funny because when I saw it on Dave's Facebook page, I had to comment absolutely, and I said because both Jay and Andrew, you know, they've got the pose where they got their fist up underneath their chin, sort of like the thinker pose, and Dave is talking to them, and I said, "Wow, that looks like Socrates talking to Plato and Aristotle."
Yeah, I saw that comment. I said it was our version of the Last Supper. That's just me and my brother just pretending to listen to Dave talk. That's all that was.
I think you guys had soothed me and comforted me, and at that point, it was time for me to entertain both of you as a thank you. George, I'll tell you, we got a lot more flattering of a photo from the screen cap on RDS than we did from the Hockey Night in Canada one. Because that one just had us all sitting there on our cell phones.
I swear to God, I kept yelling at these guys, "Will you stop with the cell phones? You look like a couple of douchebags."
maybe you were negotiating a trade for Gauthier.
No, I'll tell you what. I was taking pictures of the whole tribute, and I kept sending them out. And then as soon as Hockey Night in Canada showed us, all of our phones just exploded.
Oh, boy.
It was hilarious.
Great show, by the way. I love the Homer. And,
thank you, George. Good to know that you're a Simpsons fan.
And keep up the great work, guys. And I'll be tuned in again next Monday for sure.
We appreciate the fidelity, George. Thank you so much. All the best to the wife.
Thank you. Good night.
Have a great night. 514-790-0990. If you're out of town, it's 1-866-896-2546. Let's go to the next caller. I've been thinking about him for a few days now. Let's go to Expo in Redondo Beach. Hi, Steve.
Hi. How you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
How you holding up, man?
I'm holding up okay.
Good.
I think every day it's sort of improving, and thank you for thinking of me.
Of course. Did you get our drinks yesterday?
I exchanged your drinks for some carrot cake.
Okay, fair enough. I will call... you know what? I tried to call the cafe last night to give them my credit card number, but it turns out that they don't stay open late like a bar would. They're more of a restaurant-style thing, right?
That's okay. Chris took care of it. Don't worry about it.
Good stuff.
I've got a few comments, and first let me preface this by saying I have not listened to the show tonight, so if I'm saying stuff that you've discussed already, I apologize.
Unless you talk a lot about the softball episode of The Simpsons, you'll probably be okay.
Yeah, won't be talking about that.
Okay.
First, I was watching NBC here, who were covering the Habs game last night.
So you didn't see the tribute live then?
Well, I did not see it live. I was listening to the radio station, so I heard it live because, incredibly, NBC not only did not show it, as far as I could tell, they never even mentioned it.
What's up with that?
It's bizarre. They were just showing the guys in the studio talking, and you know, and they knew exactly, interestingly enough, when the game was going to start. which kind of surprised me because I guess the PA announcer knew after the moment of silence to go right to the national anthem because, in my opinion, the fans probably would have started to clap for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, you know what? And I'll be honest with you, Steve, that's what I was expecting. And I know that the barometer, at least in this town, is 7 minutes because that was how long the Rockets' final ovation at the Forum was. And I thought that it would be maybe not equal, but up there.
Well, and that leads me to my second comment on this. And again, perhaps people have discussed this already. It seems to me it would be appropriate, although all of us are biased, that the Habs next year should do something more formal and maybe have the equivalent of what they do when they retire somebody's sweater. Maybe do that for Carter, bring in some former Expos, especially from around the 81 era. Have basically a Montreal Expos night in honor of Gary Carter and bring in one of his family members who can, you know, thank the Montreal fans. And, of course, they would have to, you know, donate something to Gary's one of Gary's foundations.
Which I don't think will be an issue. I know that the Canadians are auctioning off the jerseys that they wore in the warm-up for the Gary Carter Foundation. Tomorrow you can go to Canadien.com and get all the details. I know I will because, frankly, I want one.
Yeah, and the picture of you guys is great. Yeah, hopefully they'll do something. And if they do it in November, it would seem to be a perfect time. There's a number of months will have gone by, and people like Reigns and Dawson should be available. I know there's probably many other callers, so let me get to my other two quick stories.
Steve, it's actually kind of quiet right now. You take your time.
Oh, okay. I work out or do a reasonable facsimile of working out at a local gym, and one of the instructors there is a former MLB player. His name is Jerry Spratkin, I think that's how you pronounce his name. But he's like 6'7", a right-hander. He was a reliever in the 90s. So I saw him a couple days ago or yesterday, and I went up to him and I said, you know, did you ever pitch to Gary Carter? And he said no, which I thought I knew because I think he was a rookie in 93. He said, but Gary always said hello to me. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, whenever I went to Olympic Stadium, and by the way, he loved going to Montreal, this guy. He even mentioned Pi 9 was one of the you know, metro stops. He said that he thinks that Gary was an announcer or was with the club in some capacity, and he always came up to him and said, hey, how you doing, Jerry? You know, how you feeling? And I said, well, why do you think he would always come up to you? And he said, that's easy. I was born in Fullerton.
Huh.
So Gary was sort of taking care of a homie.
Wow.
And finally, and again, I apologize. Perhaps someone's mentioned this, but I think when I was younger, the winter seemed to be harsher in Montreal, colder, more snow, and February was really, you know, a great time in terms of anticipating the summer and baseball starting. And pitchers and catchers, of course, are right around now.
Right.
So not that I'm spiritual or anything like that, but one can only imagine that, you know, Gary obviously is reporting to duty, and I'm sure Charlie Lee will be throwing to him, pitchers and catchers.
You know what? I keep thinking back to the Steve Goodman song, Expo. I think of the dying Cubs fan's last request and the final verse where he talks about how he's got season tickets to see the Angels now, so it's me who feels sorry for you.
Right, right, exactly.
And, you know, it's been heartbreaking since Thursday, and no matter how much lead time we've had on this, and frankly, I think the lead time started on the 20th of May. There was no way that anybody was ready for this news. It hit on a whole other level. And I don't know if you feel the same way, Steve, but for me, this has been like losing the team all over again. And I get that my emotions are misplaced, but I'm sadder than I ever thought I would be about this. And it's because I'm in the same daze that I was in the days following September 29th, 2004.
I would concur. I agree with that. It's like a, you know, it's like reliving it, but you know, on a different and sort of sadder level, because it's obviously it's the end of someone's life. And is Jay? I haven't, like I said, Jay, are you there?
I'm here. Surprisingly,
I've got a question. Oh, and by the way, tell your brother that was an incredible tribute that he did. And amazing that he could turn it around. I think he did it overnight or something.
So, yeah.
So, and also, please tell your father that I send my condolences because I know that Gary Carter, I'm sure, was a hero to him too.
Yes, he was.
Wow. Let me ask you a question because, again, you sort of have your ear to the street. At the bar and in the streets of downtown Montreal, are you feeling and hearing the same thing that I sense is happening in there, that just what, you know, Dave just said is happening, that people feel horrible?
People do feel horrible, but I mean, the demographic is different. It's people over 30. Walking into my bar, into the pub the other night, I had put up some Carter 8 pictures that were in black and white, and I just put them up around the bar, a little bit of a subtle tribute, you know, to Gary. Some people, it got people talking at the bar, and we've left it up for a couple of days. I'm not sure if they're still there. I haven't been there. But the thing we were getting is, as soon as I walked in, people were like, well, my younger busboys were like, well, what is that? Oh, is that that baseball guy? You know, guys 22, 23 years old, didn't really get it. But since our demographic is a little bit older, it's an older Irish pub and people come in, there was a lot of sorrow expressed. And it being the President's Day weekend, we did have a lot of tourists come in. A lot were Met fans. And so there was a lot of discussion going on about Gary Carter. In fact, I was very impressed with it. It made me feel a lot better.
It's interesting that you say that. My father used to work for Steinberg's. I assume you guys remembered that company.
Of course.
I was at the Redondo Beach Cafe a couple of years ago, and I met somebody there who was around 22, and I just casually mentioned this. And they had no clue what I was talking about. And that company and that supermarket chain was such a part of the fabric of the city, and people have no memory. And just to switch this to baseball, I remember you were discussing that iconic picture of Gary Carter a couple of weeks ago.
With the Steinberg's ad on the scoreboard, right?
And to make this more personalized, and since we have a little time, my father was an executive with the company, and he was a big baseball guy. I'll tell you basically the whole story. In the early or mid-70s, I don't know if you guys know who Russ Taylor is. He was Dave Van Horn's first partner.
Yes, of course.
He approached my father and said, and maybe you won't believe this, but he said, we're having problems getting sponsors for the radio broadcast. Does this sort of ring a bell, guys?
Well, you know what? I was talking about Boomer's Bar in Kansas City today. Do you remember them?
No.
They used to advertise on the Expos radio, on the Team 990 right here for Expos games 02, 03, 04. It was so hard to get advertising that this bar in Kansas City, Missouri, who loved the Expos, I guess much like the Redondo Beach Cafe in California is an Expos bar, Boomer's Bar in Kansas City was an Expos bar, and there were ads during Expos games for a bar in Kansas City.
Well, that was sort of what was happening, I guess, in the early or mid-70s, and my father was the one who said, okay, you know, baseball's really important. He grew up watching Jackie Robinson going to Dormier and all that, so Steinberg's became an advertiser for them, and eventually, and that's the reason why that big S is in that picture. And also, some of the biggest crowds they ever had, I remember this, were Steinberg nights, where I think for $5 you got a seat to the game, two hot dogs, and a soft drink. And on one of those days, I think they drew 60,000 people, of which 15,000 were Steinberg employees, because most of the employees that worked for Steinberg's lived right near the stadium, because that's where most of the offices were.
Huh. That's interesting. I have vague memories of going to Steinberg's on Queen Mary Road near where Snowden Metro is when I was a kid.
Well, in the 1950s, my father was a store manager at that store.
There you go. So, when did you move to California, Expo?
I first came here in 79, and I guess bad timing.
For real, man.
Yeah, 79, 80, and 81 I was here. Quick story, when they played the Phillies in 81, Stu Nahan was one of the broadcasters here for the local NBC affiliate, and they were covering, you know, the split series. So the Expo Philly series wasn't shown, and it was the fifth game when Rogers was playing Carlton. So a friend of mine and I called him. He went to McGill, and he played goalie for the McGill Redmen. So we thought maybe he let us into the studio to watch Game 5, but didn't work. But the point is, that's how difficult it was to follow the team when you lived out here, because, you know, you would just have to get updates on the news station every 15 or minutes or half an hour.
Right, and you knew that they weren't leading with the Expos score either.
No, you would you would hope that they would give you the Expos score.
Yeah, I think.
And, you know.
Sort of like watching ESPN now looking for a hockey score.
Well, sort of, yeah. It was way worse.
Okay.
But you know, it was much more of a challenge to remain. It was easy to remain a fan. It was just hard to follow your team.
Steve, I got your email last week. I honestly, I've been really frazzled. I don't even remember if I wrote you back or not, but it resonated with me. And we're going to continue to try and get Expos on air and talk about the Expos and keep this alive in the city.
That's a good idea.
The feeling that we've had has been just overwhelmingly positive from our listeners, and people miss it. So we might as well keep the passion alive here.
I have another suggested guest, Chris Dufresne. He's a sports guy for the L.A. Times. Mm. I don't know if you read his article, but he wrote an interesting little piece. Gary Carter used to deliver newspapers to him.
Yes, I did read that, yes.
And he appears on radio. I mean, I've heard him on ESPN and stuff. I'm sure he would talk to you guys.
That would be very cool. We're working on a couple of Expo greats, and you should check out the podcast from this show. It'll be up a little later, but we did talk a lot of Simpsons. It's the 20th anniversary of the iconic Simpsons softball episode, Expo. And we had one of the members of the Springfield Nine on the show. We had Steve Sachs join us.
Interesting.
And Steve had some just wonderfully beautiful things to say about Gary Carter.
I'm sure he did.
You know, they were teammates on the 82 National League All-Star team when Sachs was a rookie. Sachs was in the dugout for Blue Monday. And their careers, they crossed paths a lot. And he had some just fantastic things to say. It was a wonderful interview.
I will check it out tomorrow. Always a pleasure to speak to you guys. Last comment, I don't know if you remember a guy by the name of John Oakley. He used to do overnight radio in Montreal about 30 years ago.
No, I'm 31.
No, anyway, he's in Toronto now. He's fantastically successful. He loves sports and he loved comedy and he was very bright. Your show kind of reminds me of him, so I hope you guys can get more airtime and move forward and get some shifts during the day.
Thank you, Expo. We'll just keep doing the best Mondays we can do, and I think we'll just keep at it, and people will start to notice.
I look forward to many Groggy Tuesdays.
Thank you. Long live Groggy Tuesdays. All right.
Absolutely. Have a great night, guys.
Good night, Steve. Thank you for the call.
And thank you for your kind words about my brother's video, and I will relay the message to my old man as well.
Gotten some nice tweets here. Chris Wassell. Simply, the kid personified everything that is good in baseball and in life. If we could all be more like him. And James Jarvis is listening to us in San Francisco. Long live the kid. Long live San Francisco. Hell of a town. Sean Farrell, thank you for your comments before. We appreciate it. Well, I also liked your Homer Simpson impersonation. It was the second best Homer impersonation we had on the show tonight.
That's right.
Which I think means something. Creelman Kid, David Carnegie. I'm 20 years old from Saskatchewan, and I know who Gary Carter is, thanks to my dad. I wish more young guys knew.
Good for you, kid.
Yeah, thank you, Creelman Kid. You listen a lot, and you comment a lot on Twitter. We appreciate it. This is the Kaufman Show. We go a little after two, Jim? You're the man. This is Johnny Cash and you too. The Wanderer.
Through the capitals of tin, where men can't walk or freely talk, and sons turn their fathers in. I stopped outside a church house where the citizens like to sit. They say they want the kingdom, but they don't want God in.
Well, I believe they call that a musical interlude.
We just had a couple of things to do. That's all that was.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't long enough for a smoke break. I can promise you we just sat here.
Yes, we did.
What a great show tonight.
Yeah, it was. By the way, we were asking before about Anakin Slade's kid tribute.
Yeah.
72,000. Just hit the 72,000 mark.
Wow.
And he does thank everyone for listening, and it is a great song. I'm proud of him.
Can we play that going out to break, up to the news break? I think it's about 4 minutes long, which means we'd start it in about a minute and a half, and then we'd hit the 2 a.m. on the dot. It's Anakin sent me that song. I think he posted it to YouTube at 9 or 9:30 on Friday night, and I was sitting in this chair right here about to do my first post-game show of the season. I felt like the designated successor, Jay. Have you heard that term before?
The designated successor, yes. Should I? Well, you actually explained to me what it is.
I felt like the Secretary of Agriculture. The Secretary of Agriculture, that's right. on the night of the State of the Union address.
They put him in a little bunker.
Something awful had happened, and everybody down the chain of command, from the president all the way through to all the congressmen, could not be there. So suddenly the Secretary of Agriculture was thrown into the mix.
You don't do yourself enough justice, my friend.
Anakin Slade sent me the song. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah.
And it was fun to do the show. It was, I don't know if anybody else has said it, but there was really a great thrill in going, let's now go to the coach's comments, brought to you by Pennzoil's 10-minute oil change, when you don't have 11 minutes. I had a lot of fun with it, and it was fun to work with Mo Khan, as always. Kaufman and Khan, the terrible twosome. This is the song. This is the kid. Anakin Slade. Man, did he make me sob with this song. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, bro.
It was fall 1998 at the rally. 3,000 Expos fans was the tally. Glad is there, Rusty gushed about Jerry, but I knew it couldn't be without talking to Gary. And to tell him all about the day 6 years prior, the night of his last game, the night kid retired. Had tickets in the bleachers, but I snuck down. Needed to say bye the only way I knew how. I told him I made a sign, spent all night drawing, and all I wanted was to make sure that he saw it. The slightest acknowledgement would have been worth the while, but I was thrilled when I got a thumbs up and a smile. We stood together singing the anthem loud. Posed for the cameras, held my sign up proud. The next morning, Dad showed me the paper cover. There was Gary Hannon hard at me right above him. When I told kid the story, he smiled and asked my name and said he had that same pic at home in a frame. Today I got it hanging in my studio office. It's signed, God Bless You, the kid, Gary Carter.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. I mentioned to you that I was at the Jimmy Riggers concert on Saturday night at El Patio Vice, and how wonderful it was. part of how wonderful it was the opening act, Sarah Jane Scouten from Vancouver. She's based in Montreal right now. Pick up her new CD. It's called Magpie Waltz. It's soft, it's sweet, and you know what? It's exactly what I want to hear right now. This song is called Till the Wheels Come Off.
Well, I'm gonna love you, baby, till the wheels come off. And if you kiss me, well, then I'll never want to stop. And I'm a warm meal steaming from your countertop. Love you till the wheels come off. When I hold you in my arms, I'll tell you of your many charms and kiss you in the morning light if you say it's all right. I know you're tired, I heard you've been used, that your longtime woman she gave you the blues, but I wanna do right by you. I'm gonna love you, baby, till the wheels come off. And if you kiss me, well, then I'll never wanna stop. And I'm a warm meal steaming from your countertop. Love you till the wheels come off. Daddy don't like you because you're poor, but Mama says it don't matter anymore because, oh yeah, hell, we're big kids now. And when the sweet apple grows from the sour apple tree, that's when you're gonna wanna let go of me, unless I throw you out kicking and screaming before me. I'm gonna love you, baby, till the wheels come off. And if you kiss me, well, then I'll never wanna stop. And I'm a warm meal steaming from your countertop. Love you till the wheels come off.
Once again, that's Sarah Jane Scouten. The album's called Magpie Waltz. This is The Kaufman Show, where we support Canadian music and Canadian artists. And we're proud to.
Of course.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we be?
She has a beautiful voice. The band was fantastic. And the more I've listened to the album, I close my eyes and I feel like she's a new Natalie Merchant. Very beautiful voice. And once again, had a wonderful time down at the Jimmy Riggers show on Saturday night. I was down there with my good friend Kristen Busandri. You can follow her on Twitter at Kristen Songs. She was named by Bernie Perusse in the Gazette as one of the artists to watch from Montreal in 2012. Kristen will join us in studio. We're going to keep making this a pop culture love fest, Jay.
We love the pop culture.
We do. We do. Sports, you know what? Steve Sachs said it tonight. And I looked at you right away because I remember us doing a show a couple of months back. And at the end of it, you talked about sports as a mirror for society. And I thought it was cool that Steve Sachs went to the same place tonight.
He did. It's a psychological and emotional and ethical genre, if I may, sports. Sports is it's a clear reflection of who we are as people.
It has the ability to be. And I look at sports as... The thing that moves me about sport is the possibility of sport being a vehicle for social change, for bettering oneself, for bettering one's community, society, world around them.
Yes, because when you look at it, the outcomes of games and series and championships, we have no stake in them other than that we're watching.
Right.
I mean, Strombo referred to that as well. There's nothing important about sports.
No, and there's no difference between the All-Star Game and the Stanley Cup Finals, except for what the I think that's what George
except
was
for
saying.
How we perceive it.
Right.
It's a question of patriotism or loyalty to your city. Okay, I can understand that, but at the same time, we really have no stake in the outcome.
Exactly.
There is no way that it affects our lives except that it brings us joy. And it makes us think, and that's what we try to convey to our listeners.
That's exactly what we try to convey to our listeners. Can I go back to The Simpsons for a couple of minutes?
Sure.
Because we do have a $50 gift certificate for Brewtopia to give away.
Right.
And if we have any crazy hardcore Simpsons fans, I've got a really, really nutso trivia question. But if you're not a Simpsons fan, don't even try. And if you're not a hardcore Simpsons fan, don't even try. I have a... I have a fallback, somebody whose tweet resonated with me, that will win this gift certificate if we can't find somebody. But I want to get them on the phones too, because I don't want somebody to Google this answer.
No.
I remember somebody asking me this Simpsons trivia question, and they were blown away that I was able to get the answer as quickly as I did. So we'll see what happens. Jimmy, do we have a caller, or do they just want to chat with you?
They just want to chat with Jimmy. Yeah.
Okay.
He's some sort of business deal going on
here. Hey, you know what hasn't happened
Shady
tonight?
Happenings.
I haven't gone on some long dramatic monologue and had Jimmy sneeze in the middle of it.
No. Well, let's hope for the best.
It doesn't feel like a Kaufman show if Jimmy doesn't sneeze. Honestly, I...
He claims it was a cough last time.
That's right. It was the sneeziest cough I've ever... All right, let's go back to Bob in Lachine. Bob called earlier, and we're happy to have him on again. Hello, Bob.
Hi, guys. You guys are fantastic, and the other colors are great, too. That Sarah Jane Skelton, man, I really enjoyed that.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is gorgeous.
You know what? I'll tell you what. We'll play another track coming out of this segment.
And also, I forgot to mention about Cary Carter. Do you? I don't remember the year, but he tied Johnny Bench, 31 homers in a season.
Was that with the 85 Mets? Or the 86 Mets?
No, it was with the Expos.
Okay, because I know I was reading a stat about him hitting, I think it was 32 home runs with the Mets in his first season and only striking out 50 times.
Yeah, well, I remember when he tied with Johnny Bench, I said, man, that is a fantastic record.
Huh.
Because Johnny Bench was the greatest.
That's
well,
right.
It was the greatest, but in our eyes, Gary Carter's the greatest, right?
I think that the consensus amongst the Bill James group of baseball people was that Johnny Bench was the greatest catcher of all time.
Oh, that's right.
Now,
yeah.
Gary Carter, obviously, if he's a Hall of Famer, was number two. Yeah,
oh, definitely.
Was right up there. And you know, as far as my lifetime,
yeah.
I haven't seen great catchers the way. Like, I think right now the great catcher in Major League Baseball is Joe Mauer.
Well, what about Piazza? Piazza wasn't bad.
Offensively.
Yeah, offensively.
There was Ivan Rodriguez, too.
Yeah, Pudge.
Ivan Rodriguez, Pudge was defensively
Pudge,
and offensively a great
true,
catcher.
Yeah.
And for me, my everlasting memory of Pudge will be as a Florida Marlin.
Yeah,
holding that ball exactly in the series against the Giants in the tie-breaking game. In I guess it was game five, because that was a five-game series.
Yeah.
And he held on to that ball for his dear life and ended up getting himself a World Series ring out of it.
I'm not a Blue Jay fan, which I don't really like the Blue Jays, but their catcher Carter wasn't bad either. Was it Carter?
No, are you thinking of Ernie Witt?
Who am I thinking of?
Blue Jays catchers, I'd go to Ernie Witt, right?
I thought there was another one. Carter?
Who was the catcher on the World Series Blue Jay teams?
Wasn't it
Ed Sprague?
Was it Borders?
Pat Borders the first year,
yeah.
And I think it was Ed Sprague the second year.
There you go.
But there was an announcer for the Blue Jays. I can't think
of... Oh, you're thinking of Darren Fletcher.
No.
No.
Because he announced for the Jays as well.
There was another...
Martinez.
Buck Martinez. Buck Martinez.
Oh, that's it, Buck Martinez.
Okay,
yeah. That's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
Oh,
he was all right.
I'm not going to try. I'm not going to try and upsell you on the Blue Jays, Bob.
No,
but I've definitely taken them under my wing this year. I'm going to support Canadian baseball, like the way that I support Canadian music. I'm going to support Canadian baseball.
Well, I've been a Yankee fan ever since I've been knee high. Well, since I've been knee high to a grasshopper, if you want to call it that. But I've always followed the Yankees, but as soon as the Expos came on air. Came on the scene. I've been an Expo fan. When I was I think I must have been about 6 or 7. I went to my first Montreal Royals game, but all I remember was the big signs and the thing, and eating hot dogs or something, going to the washroom in that big stadium. And then that big Royal Stadium at Delorme
Downs, yes,
and the big underneath the garage.
Underneath the garage. See, now you're pulling out a reference that's escaping.
That there is no way that we can know anything about.
Yeah, but I was so young at that age too.
What year are you talking? Because I know the Royals left Montreal in, what was it, 61 or 62, right?
59.
59, okay.
Yeah, because I was only about seven.
Okay.
Yeah, I was 7 years old, six or seven. My uncle used to work for the Montreal Star, and he had season tickets. Two players on the Royals that were friends of his, George.
Oh, we're not going to be able to help you on this one, Bob.
Buck Martinez?
Sorry. Buck Martinez and Greg Zahn. Bob, thank you so much for the call, and call back anytime. We appreciate it. I'm going to just throw it out there in case any Simpsons fans are still kicking around and want a $50 gift certificate to Brewtopia. If they don't get it, Hermie11 is going to win on Twitter. I want the six members of Mensa that live in Springfield. This
Yikes.
Is from the infamous Stephen Hawking episode. I'm reaching.
Yeah, you've got me on this.
Yeah, and look at the phone lines there.
Yeah. Got everybody else, too, it seems.
Looks like Hermie might win the certificate.
I give it to Hermie. You've already teased him enough about
it. Well, they've got a few minutes. In the meantime, let's go out on this break on a little more Sarah Jane Scouten. This is a song called Poverty Wind.
Are bare and red as the sun. Your head pounds like fists in the night. And the woman at home, she said you're no good. You stepped out 'cause you know that she's right. Well, good times are found in a bottle and a Ziploc bag. When you met, it was love at first sight. Poverty wind.
Sam Cooke, you know how to soothe every man's soul. God, I love that music, Jay. They don't make it like that anymore.
No, they don't. They attempt to, but they don't.
Yeah, often imitated, never duplicated. This is the Kaufman Show. Kind of like us, huh?
Let's hope not.
Oh, man, this has been a very special night. So concerned about striking the proper tone this evening. It was... You know, like I said before, I woke up Tuesday morning with a shot, man. I had this idea in mind of a Simpsons tribute. And as soon as I heard the news about Gary, I knew that the show's tone would have to change. I hope we've struck the balance, and I hope we've both made you laugh and cry.
Yeah, there was a dichotomy going on, and we had some lengthy discussions about how we were going to do this. And do it with class. So I think we pulled it off, telling the truth there.
Oh, wow. Okay, this is going to be our last caller of the night, which means that Hermie has won the $50 gift certificate to Brewtopia. Congratulations to Ian Hermelin, who was at the game last night in his Gary Carter jersey. We're going to go to our next caller. I've been thinking about you all week. This is Roy and Dorval. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show, Roy.
Hi, Dave. How are you? I've been thinking about you, too.
No, good. You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay, man. I knew it was going to happen, but you know what? It's too bad he couldn't come to Montreal and, like, we couldn't say goodbye or something, you know? I feel terrible, actually, you know?
Roy, you know that he heard you, right?
Sorry?
Yeah, I know he did.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Okay.
I'm not religious, like really religious, but I'm religious enough to when I do my prayers and I God bless somebody. I mean it. You know, I know he heard me.
The family asked for the copy of the show, and we got it to them. And,
good, Dave. Thank you very much.
No, I didn't mean that he heard you spiritually.
Oh, okay.
I mean he actually heard you say, yeah.
My God, thank you.
Yeah, I
forgot it was Monday night tonight, and I just hit myself in the head, and I turned the radio on. It's like 3:30, and you're on. Or 2:30, what is it, 2:30?
It's 2:20.
Oh, God.
Roy, you know you can listen to all of this on our podcast. We have a website. It's thekaufmanshow.podbean.com.
Okay.
Or you can go to iTunes. Gary Carter episode is up, and oh, you know what? You're on the phone, and I know you have some stories to tell, and I'm going to tell you very quickly how we got this to the Carter family.
Good.
I sent an email to Kimmy a couple of nights after the show. I found her. Well, I was given her email address, and I told her. I basically sent her a long email describing our tribute show from January 23rd and saying exactly what we'd done and how we wanted to honor her dad, and us offering that if she wanted a copy, we'd be happy to FedEx it to her.
Oh my God!
And she wrote me back. I think I wrote her on the Wednesday, and she wrote me back late Saturday night. I was actually. Our friend Nick Dyka from the Arkells was on earlier talking about The Simpsons, and I was watching Nick in concert when I got the email, and I just started to shake, man.
Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, my God.
Well, I'll tell you, by the grace of FedEx that it got there, because there was I went to FedEx and told them that this needed to get there the next day. I was there first thing Monday morning. They promised me it would be there Tuesday morning by 10:30.
Dave, you don't know how good you made me feel.
Good.
Inside right now, I swear to God. I feel so, I just know he heard that. I mean, that makes me so happy. Thank you very much.
Roy, it's my pleasure.
Okay, Dave, I'm going to start crying now.
That's okay, man. I'm right with you, buddy.
Okay,
it's all good.
Thank you very much, Dave. I'll give you a call Monday.
Anytime.
And get some more time, okay, on the air?
You call my boss, okay?
Okay, buddy. Bye, Dave. Thank you.
Thanks, Roy. Roy from Dorval, God, Roy from Dorval made my night on that tribute show. He called with a lump in his throat, and he said that the greatest times of his life were watching Gary Carter play baseball. And I can't stop thinking about Roy. I haven't stopped thinking about Roy and Steve in Redondo Beach and Katie Hines and Terry Haig and Buck 65 and UJ and Anakin and all of my – and Max and Mary Christine and all of my Expos brethren. And it's weird. It's not, I have friends. I have a lot of friends and they're wonderful friends. The majority of them are not Expos friends. My Expos friends and my real life friends, if you will, are separated like church and state. But at times like this, I can't rely on my regular friends. They don't get it.
No, there's a certain group. And if I may.
Yeah, please.
You forgot to include yourself in that because I want to say something. I went to that hockey game with you last night. I went with my brother and my best friend, Elias, and I couldn't think of three other people that I would have wanted to be there with.
Thanks,
and let
Jay.
Me tell you something. All week, in the last few days, my friend, you have handled yourself with poise. You have handled yourself with respect and integrity, and all the work that you did in the tributes and the numerous tweeting and it's you weren't doing it out of self-preservation or any kind of self-absorption. You did it because I can tell you people, this man genuinely and truly cares. It was never, ever a selfish issue with you. And I'm very, very proud to be your partner on the air and very proud to be your friend for what you did in the last few days.
Before Carter died that afternoon, Mitch had replayed parts of my Chad Cordero, our Chad Cordero interview from Monday night. And after it was over, Mitch said that I'm picking up the mantle for baseball fans in this town. And I've never felt so proud as when Mitch said that. And then a half an hour later, the news comes through. And I knew that I had to get to the station. And I knew that I wanted to sit on air all night with you guys and talk. And I promise you, Jay and I love baseball, and we love Montreal, and we're never going to stop talking about this, because those were our glory years. Our cities, ours, I loved it, and I know you all feel the same way, and I've been so touched by everybody's reaction to the last week. And, Jay, you wouldn't believe the emails I got thanking me for Thursday night. And I'll tell you what, thank you all. Getting those emails and knowing that I'm not alone, that means the world to me. For a long time, we were very quiet about our morning of baseball in this town. And I was embarrassed to wear my Expo stuff. And now I wear it with pride. And I always will. By the way, just for those of you that are wondering, we don't want to leave you hanging. The six members of Mensa from Springfield are Professor Frank, the comic book guy, Lisa Simpson, Principal Skinner, Dr. Julius Hibbert, and the last one's the real tough one. It's Lindsay Nagel. That's right, Lindsay Nagel.
Whoa, careful there, Annie Oakley.
I don't have to be careful, I got a gun.
Well, you'll probably want the accessory kit. Holster.
Oh, yeah.
Bandolier.
Baby.
Silencer.
Mm-hmm.
Loudener. Speed cocker.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
And this is for shooting down police helicopters.
Oh, I don't need anything like that. Yet. Just give me my gun.
Sorry, the law requires a 5-day waiting period. We've got to run a background check.
5 days? But I'm mad now.
Yeah.
I'd kill you if I had my gun.
Yeah, well, you don't.
It was so wonderful to talk about The Simpsons, something I am so passionate about, and I hope that you all enjoyed it. We got to speak to David Silverman tonight. The guy wrote the rule book on how The Simpsons are drawn. I want to thank David Silverman. I want to thank Rick Miller McHomer. I want to thank Steve Sachs, Nick Dyka from the Arkells, Andrew Buchholz from Yahoo and Awful Announcing, Elias Tufexis from the CBC and every video game I've ever played, Sean Farrell from the Associated Press. Boy, oh boy, we had ourselves a big show tonight. Jay, thank you.
I can speak for everyone in Montreal when I say thank you, sir.
Oh, Jay. Wow. Thanks, man. We'll be back next week, and we're going to keep talking baseball, among many other things. And here's some Joel Plaskett. I love this town.
Listen up, kid. It's not what you think. Stayed out too late. Had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house. If your house burns down, there's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all hold a grudge anyway. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you Davy and me
face down in our soup, some French restaurant. I saw Riviera de Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
Sound like
you've been listening to the Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar. We'll be back next week, but in the meantime, enjoy.
Yeah, that's more like it. Oh, I want to be in that rumba and I stay so over there.